That is from Brother Milos Kundrick of Tucson, Arizona, who wanted his love conveyed to each of you. Now it's my privilege once again to introduce a brother who has been a great assist to many of us and myself personally from my very earliest days in the truth. Great help and example to me. And we're thankful to have Brother Scheffelbaum in our midst once again to address our convention. And he's chosen for his subject this afternoon, Satan's House Divided. Satan's House Divided. We're looking forward to a blessing from the Lord through Brother Albert.
Thank you, Brother Ed. Sister Anastasia and I have been looking forward to being here at convention with you brethren, sharing the blessings that the Lord has for us. We've enjoyed the services thus far. We've enjoyed the fellowship and meeting the brethren from various parts of the country. We also bring you the love from the brethren in the class that we meet with, and also from some brethren near the San Diego area. They do not meet with the San Diego class, but we had the opportunity of meeting with them it's about 2 weeks ago, and they had an immersion service there, and we were privileged to have part in that. As has been announced, our subject is Satan's House Divided. And in introduction of the subject, we'd like to read Mark 3, verses 22 through 27. The scribes which came down from Jerusalem said, "He hath Beelzebub, and by the prince of devils casteth he out devils. And he called them unto him, and said unto them in parables, How can Satan cast out Satan? And if a kingdom be divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan rise up against himself and be divided, he cannot stand, but had an end. And no man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he will first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house." Now the context of these words by our Lord were prompted by the fact that they were accusing Jesus of casting out devils by or through Satan's power. Jesus then showed how ridiculous this charge really was by showing that if at any time Satan's house was so divided that he would be casting out, that others would be casting out devils by Satan's authority or by his direction, then Satan's kingdom would come to an end. And this is, of course, important to us as to indicate as to where we are on the stream of time. Now, Satan has been and continues to be a very powerful spirit being, as we read in 1 John 5:19, and reading from the Diaglot rendering, that the whole world lies under the evil one. Satan's dominance began in Eden, and it has continued even to our day. Through the first age, the first age was under the influence mainly of the angels. But I think it would be reasonable to conclude that he exercised some influence even during the first age. After the flood, of course, he had the fallen angels join him, and they became properly his household. In 1 Peter 5:20 we read, "Which were disobedient, when the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah. So it was those angelic hosts that were permitted to materialize and try to help mankind from the sinful condition that they had fallen into. In Ephesians 2:2, we read of Satan that he is the prince of the power of the air. Now in 2 Peter 2:4, we read of the angels that sinned. God did not spare the angels that sinned, but having confined them in Tartarus with chains of thick darkness, delivered them over unto custody for judgment. These angels have been reserved in the earth's atmosphere, of which we read in 1 Thessalonians 4:17 about the victorious members of the body of Christ, that they meet the Lord, the bridegroom, in the air. And so when this body of Christ is completed, they will become the power of the air, or the new power of the air, the new heavens. Up until 1874, we believe that Satan had full control of his own house. We read of this in Luke 11, verses 21 to 22. When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in place. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusted. Now we believe that in the 21st verse, the reference to the strong man is to Satan, and that he had full control of his house until 1874, and when the Lord returned at that time, he in some way loosened Satan's control over his own house or over the evil angels. And as a result, there has been difficulty, there have been contradictory things happening, because we believe that the fallen angels have been given the opportunity to exercise their wiles in contradictory action. One group would perhaps do one thing, another group doing something else. When the apostate church, who was the adversary's masterpiece, ruled with a heavy hand, anyone who didn't fall in line was persecuted. They had to accept the absolute control of this organization. During this time, human leaders, some willingly, some unwillingly, did the will of the adversary, submitting to the dictates of this earthly organization. And the claim that the earthly kings ruled by divine power was an accepted order that each one must accept to have any favor, or if they didn't, they would be persecuted. The people were treated as slaves, and in most instances, they accepted the conditions they were under, being blinded by the adversary, thinking that this was the Lord's will. In 2 Corinthians 4:4, we read, "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, so that the adversary, through various agencies, was able to control the minds of the people, and it continues even to this day to some degree, that they believe his lies. And through these, through their acceptance of these lies, he has control over them. He, as we mentioned, in 1874, we believe that our Lord returned as a thief, unexpected even to the adversary. And we read as a proof text for this, Matthew 24:43. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. So we're told that there would come a time, and we believe that was 1874, when the Lord would come unexpectedly as a thief and break in to the adversary's house and would loose his control over the fallen angels. And as a result, his house was then divided, because if the fallen angels didn't respond to his dictates any more than the human race does today, well, you know, it leads only to chaos. Everybody doing his own thing. And this is not order, not even a bad order, it's just lack of order. In 1 Thessalonians 4:16, we read additional features about our Lord's return, where it reads, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." Now this shout, we're told, was a shout of encouragement to all men to wake up to the sense of their rights and privileges that had been taken from them. Now this trump of God referred to here, we believe, is the seventh trump, the last trump. And this trumpet sound will continue throughout the entire millennial age. In Isaiah 42, verse 13, we read, "The Lord shall go forth as a mighty man. He shall stir up jealousy like a man of war. He shall cry, yea, roar. He shall prevail against his enemies." And we believe that this had the beginning of its fulfillment when the Lord returned, that he would go as a mighty man against the forces that had been developed by the adversary, and that he would stir up jealousy like a man of war. The thought seems to be here, the stirring of jealousy is to divide and conquer, like a man of war would do. A general that is fighting against the enemy, his objective is to divide his opposing forces. If he can divide them into two or three segments, it'll be easier for him to defeat them than to defeat the whole group as one. And so I think that's the thought here, of stir up jealousy and divide. And our Lord has been doing that, dividing that which was a solid union under Satan's masterpiece. And this division continues to split up even further. And it all shows that Satan's power is beginning to diminish. Satan seems to make every effort to still retain his masterpiece, the papacy. But we realize that, or we were told, I should say not realize, we're told that this masterpiece is falling apart in many ways. Recently we were told by the news media that 400 Catholic priests had molested young boys. And that's quite a number, 400. And as a result of it, the Catholic Church has had to pay large sums of money to make settlements because they've been sued. And from the news report, at least, they say that this is really causing financial difficulty to the Catholic Church, paying these big sums of money to settle the transgressions of their priests. They can't deny it, and they must make some settlement. So that which was so powerful, which in times past could suppress anything of this kind, that they would never reach the public press, today it's out in the open. Today it's over the television, it's on the radio, it's in the newspapers and periodicals. And the Catholic Church is fighting to control their priests and the lay people as much as they can, but it's like trying to hold an organization that is falling apart. It's more obvious that it's falling apart than it's presenting a solid front. And we believe that if fallen angels perhaps have a part in this, leading astray even the priests to be involved in things that is detrimental to their organization. But we believe that this is part of the breaking up of Satan's house, that it will continue to be broken up, and eventually it will be completely broken up. But we've waited a long time for this. Now, the sounding of the seven trumpets has been the sounding or informing mankind of their rights. Rights as human beings, that they had rights that had been they've been deprived of, rights that they should have been able to exercise, but this organization and those who were affiliated with it deprive these people of these rights. And so there's been, since our Lord's return, there's been a rising up against that which had been established. And we've seen this progress to the point where it's the demands of the people are reaching the point in this country and in other countries where it is difficult for anyone to rule because people do not support them wholeheartedly anymore. And in this country we see that even the new president is having trouble even controlling his own party, much less controlling others. And what it will eventuate in, we don't know. But we do know that it will not get much better. There will be a further disintegration of political, religious authority. There was a statement, a very brief statement, speaking about Italy, and it mentioned that in Italy the leaders in the country are concerned. They said, you know, in Italy now per family there are 1.3 children. 1.3 children, that means two adults have 1.3 children, and if this would continue for any length of time, their population would decrease. And this is in the Pope's home territory. So they said, well, I guess they're disregarding the Pope's instructions, which is obvious. But right at his back door. So the whatever the Pope might say, whatever the Pope is trying to introduce as proper instruction for good Catholics, it's being ignored. And he still tries to put across the idea that this is correct. But it's being attacked on every hand, even in connection with the, that I had mentioned, 400 priests have been involved in abusing boys. Some have said, well, now, you see what the answer would be? That the priests would be permitted to be married. That'd be one solution. And so even Catholics are raising questions as to what do you do with this problem? You can't let it continue on. It must be some solution. And yet the Pope says, no, not that. Also, the Catholic Church, or I should say the Catholic people, as far as I'm able to discern, that Catholics generally do not believe the papacy is God's kingdom here on earth. At one time they did, but I have not heard anything to the effect that good Catholics believe this is God's kingdom. And as this disintegration continues further, they're less likely to believe it. So it is definitely the Lord, through the dissemination of truth, is causing not only the Catholic Church to have trouble, but the Protestant churches are having problems, the political parties are having problems. You know, recently we've heard comments from the general public. They said, well, we're not satisfied with the politicians, but if we vote in another group of politicians, it'd just be another group of crooks. So with that attitude, why, nobody can really rule with authority if the people feel it's just exchanging one group of crooks for another group of crooks. This is causing the present order to disintegrate. You know, we thought, at least I should say I thought, that the present order would, or maybe I should even be broader. I know that brethren some 20 years ago or so thought when they had the atomic bomb, they said, you know, we were wondering how the end would come, how the present order worldwide would be threatened with destruction. Now with the atomic bomb, well, see, that's easy. You know, they build a lot of these atomic bombs, and if they start throwing them all over the globe, they would tear up the countries all around. Well, today we've gone to the point where it doesn't seem like it'll take a third world war to destroy the present order, but rather it's falling from within. The United States government is not being attacked by any enemy, by sea or air or land, but it is falling apart. And the European continent is not being attacked by any enemy, but they're falling apart from within. And so the Lord has changed from what we thought it would be, but he's doing it his own way, but accomplishing the purpose that he had indicated in his word that he would remove the present order. I think also many of us thought that the Russian bear was so strong, having control over so many countries, so many millions of people, that wouldn't collapse unless there was a great armed struggle of some kind. And I'm sure that most of us were surprised when they said, the wall is open, go right through it, it's no more. I had not heard of anyone, nor did I imagine that it would happen that way, that it would just collapse. But that's the Lord directing it. You know, if the Lord had followed my concept, it would have been an armed struggle of some kind. But he didn't. He chose a different method, and we're grateful to the Lord for that. So the Lord continues to break down the present order, or breaking down Satan's empire, not by something dramatic like the First World War or the Second World War. You know, there were brethren in the past. Some of you who were around at that time remembered one brethren in particular said, World War I, World War II, and World War III. That would do it. And it sounded good at the time. But it sounded as though he had the right viewpoint. But it didn't work out quite that way, and I'm one of those that thinks that it probably won't be a Third World War, that the present order is disintegrating without large forces locked in battle trying to defeat one another. We have also lived to the time in human history when minorities of all kinds are demanding their equal rights. There isn't a group here or anywhere else that doesn't want their rights. And this is causing difficulty for their governments. These groups in some instances have taken arms and are fighting against one another. In the former Soviet Union, we understand that there are a number of areas where they're on the verge of armed conflict, and some are already fighting. And nobody seems to be able to stop it. It's just ethnic groups fighting against one another, tearing down Satan's arrangements here on earth. And it's coming about in such a natural way. You know, it's really giving vent to selfishness. It's also given vent to mankind. The Lord has given mankind an opportunity to try to live in peace. When they were under the rule of communism, they were forced to live in peace, because if they didn't, they'd have the Russian army forcing them to live in peace. And one of the greatest difficulties that they're finding now that they have peace from the communist government, they can't live in peace among themselves. We were talking to some of the brethren about the conditions in Romania. And when they were under Ceausescu, And the brethren were happy to meet with anybody that was a Bible student, because it was a rare, it was a difficult situation, and they accepted whoever they could meet with, whether it was in the woods or in some private home. Now we're told that they're having troubles amongst themselves, but they're at peace. They can meet anytime, anywhere, but now the troubles are arising, I say. Peace is causing problems. And this is true of the world. We realize that the lifting of controls is showing mankind that they're not able to govern themselves. Unable to do for themselves what they know would be the best thing for them. And I think that this is a step in preparing mankind for the kingdom. You know, giving them an opportunity to try everything. Communism, try socialism. In theory, socialism and communism are excellent if they had perfect people directing it. But when you have imperfect people directing a system that could be beneficial, you find that it doesn't work out to the blessing of all. That the ones who can get, and they leave the remainder for others. So there's always human greed and human selfishness. Minorities continue to demand further liberty, and we're mainly informed about what's happening in the United States. Various ethnic groups want representation in public office. One of the latest is the women. I was reading just lately that they say in 94 that there will be many more women running for public office. Since the men didn't do such a good job, they will try to improve. And I think the Lord will give them the opportunity to try to improve on the men. From what we understand of the Lord's program, they will likewise fail. That they will not bring to mankind generally what they hope to do. Women want to be priests. Since the men are getting into trouble, why not have the women priests? This is a rationale. Or women being ministers. And this is causing difficulty to the various denominations, because there's some of the diehards that have difficulty accepting this as a standard procedure. But this is tearing down the present order. The religious arrangement, a political and religious. Now, the desire for liberty is causing all kinds of turmoil in the undeveloped countries. Much of this liberty is misdirected and misused. And the world problems continue. And the world leaders do not have solutions. We've already had brought to our attention the UN trying to police the world. And they're really having trouble with that. They're not doing as good a job as they would like to, even to satisfy themselves. But this is part of the lesson that the Lord is teaching mankind generally, that no matter what organization they set up, no matter what country is involved, that all of mankind are unable to govern themselves correctly. that selfishness, greed will prevent them from doing that which they themselves could call good, but rather it's leading on to a further disintegration of the present order, or the destabilization of Satan's control over the world. In Zechariah, the 8th verse, the 8th chapter and 10th verse, we read, "For I set all men, everyone against his neighbor." And in the Rotherham translation, it reads, "I set all men loose, each against his neighbor." And so we find that mankind, given this liberty, is trying to express what they feel is their proper rights, but it's infringing on the rights of others, and it's causing difficulty. It's setting each man against them because of their selfishness, because of their desire to control, because of their determination that they know better than the general public. Now, this is illustrated for us in former Yugoslavia. You know, while Tito was in control, Yugoslavia didn't seem to have any difficulty with the various ethnic groups there, because he would send in his army and he would quiet them down immediately. But without any control, every group is trying to fight for territory and dominance, so that liberty is proving to be a curse rather than a blessing. Their ability to express their own desires is really a disadvantage to them. But I think that this is intended by the Lord to prepare mankind that they cannot, no matter what arrangement they make, no matter who is in office, no matter what they do, they cannot satisfactorily rule themselves. We'd like to read something from the fourth volume. Remember that the fourth volume was copyrighted in 1897. That's almost 100 years ago, exactly 96 years. And on page 469 in study 10, Brother Russell said this: "Some of these, proposed remedies, social and financial." You know, at that time, there were men suggesting proposed remedies for human ills. And Brother Russell here mentions that some of them were social and financial ideas that would really take care of the problems that men were having even then, even 96 years ago. But today we've reached a point where they don't even have any proposed remedies. They've run out of remedies. You know, that's bad when you don't even have anything that you could start to implement, to work toward, that you might, it might be a possible solution. So I think that gives us a sense as to where we are on the stream of time, that the present order is disintegrating. But here, Brother Russell said, some of these were socialism and communism. But we are living at a time in human history, after these proposed remedies have been given more than a fair trial, and they have been found to be a solution for mankind's problems, the basic problem is selfishness, which is an outgrowth of sin. So a change in social or governmental arrangements is not the answer. The answer is really a change of heart from selfishness to love, and this can only be accomplished by the iron rule of the kingdom. And so while the time of trouble becomes more widespread and increased in intensity, it is somewhat difficult, even today, to watch on TV the displays of brutality of people against each other. And I think we can reasonably expect that this evil will increase, disregarding life and law and the tearing up of the present order. While society is coming apart at the seams, world leaders are not ready to admit that they have no solutions to the problems. So the Lord will continue to direct Earth's affairs, to continue to permit it to deteriorate. And in the symbolic language of the Bible, the winds, the earthquakes, and the fires will continue to undermine Satan's worldly empire to its ultimate collapse. Mankind, then seeing a complete failure of all their efforts to maintain the present order, will be ready to accept the kingdom here on earth. And from this standpoint, the difficulties that mankind has already suffered and the further problems that they will have to endure, these will prove to be a blessing to them, because it will help them to see that they need the kingdom. And in the meantime, it will cause the present order to collapse, which will eventuate in the binding of Satan. Brother Russell had suggested that the ancient worthies will be raised as perfect human beings toward the end of Jacob's trouble. So when the Lord defeats the enemies of Israel, the ancient worthies will begin to organize the new world order with Israel. Then the earthly phase of the kingdom will be fully set up, and the Lord's blessing upon Israel will become known to other nations. And the Lord had prophesied of this in Isaiah 2, verse 3, where we read, "And many people shall go and say, Come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem." This verse tells us that there will be a complete change in the attitude of mankind. They will have reached an attitude of heart and mind that they will be willing to go to the God of Jacob, to go to the Jew, and ask that they be taught of his ways, and that they desire to walk in his ways. Now, you know that will be a drastic change from what it is today. But the Lord has promised that this would take place. And the only way other nations can receive a share in the restitution favor will be by becoming Israelites. And that the Lord had promised that he would receive the Gentiles, as we read in Isaiah 19, 22. He shall be entreated of them, and he shall heal them, the Gentiles. This is in harmony with Jesus' statement in John 12:32, I will draw all men unto me. So that in due time our Lord will draw all mankind, and that they will respond to the drawing. You know, today they would not respond. They are not yet ready to say, we cannot. We need a higher power. We need somebody much wiser and stronger than ourselves to not only make an arrangement that is better than what we had, but also to be able to help us to conquer selfishness, greed, jealousy. In Isaiah 35:8, we like to read this from the New American Standard Bible. And an highway will be there, a roadway, and it will be called the Highway of Holiness. The unclean will not travel on it, but it will be for him who walks that way, the Lord's way. Not their own way, but the Lord's way. Those will be the ones who will be able to get on the highway of holiness and go to the very end, which will bring them to human perfection. Then will mankind reach perfection and be in full harmony, not only with their mediator, but also with their Heavenly Father. In 1 Corinthians 15, verses 25, 26, we read, for he must reign till he had put all enemies under his feet. And the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Here we're told that the Messianic kingdom, under the reign of our Lord and the church, his body, that this must continue on until all enemies are put under his feet. And the last enemy that will be destroyed is Adamic death. Not second death, but Adamic death. So that all, not only will mankind be raised from the grave, but that all vestiges of Adamic sin will be erased from mankind. They will be able to do perfectly under the direction of the Lord. And then, of course, that'll be the mankind will continue on in full harmony with their Lord, receiving the full blessings that the Lord has designed for them from the very beginning. Then mankind, looking back, will praise the way that how the Lord has led them, even through all these trials and tests for over 6,000 years. All the difficulties will then be seen as blessings in disguise. Blessings, the trials will be the means by which they're able to come back to the Lord in full love and appreciation for his arrangements. At the present time, it's difficult. You know, even the Lord's people have trouble accepting the adversities, the things that they didn't expect, or it didn't come the way they would like it to come. You know, we all have some of those. You know, we usually have certain preconceived ideas. I think it should go like this. That would be the best way. And very often the Lord decides that what we thought was best is not the best according to his viewpoint. And so he gives us experiences that teach us that our wisdom doesn't compare with his. that his wisdom is much better. Because what we would want is usually what we would want naturally. And the Lord is mainly concerned in developing us as new creatures in Christ. And oftentimes, the development as a new creature is done by the sacrifice of the natural. Not that it's easy, but by the Lord's grace, He has promised to give us the strength to continue if we submit to Him, if we do not fight His will for us. You know, we have a problem continually because we have the human desires, which very often conflict with the spiritual development. And this is a continual struggle that each one of the Lord's people have during their earthly pilgrimage. And it's often we talk about doing the Lord's will, but maybe we could also think of it as cooperating with the Lord in doing what He decides to be His will for us. And that takes a lot of doing, to learn this lesson thoroughly and to be willing to submit to His will for us in every instance. I don't want to give the impression that we will do the Lord's will perfectly, because I think that would be an exaggeration. But I think that we should all reach a point in our Christian development where we would want to do the Lord's will as perfectly as possible. Even though we might come short, we cannot be perfect in the flesh, but we can be perfect in intent, in desire, that we would desire to do the Lord's will perfectly, even though we realize we can't. But there should be that desire continually. I want to do the Lord's will fully, completely, wholeheartedly, without any reservations. And then the Lord will bless our efforts, and we will receive the joy and peace that comes from knowing and doing our Father's will for us. And may the Lord continue to bless each and every one of us, that we might appreciate more the Lord's arrangement and see the stately steppings of our King. And may the Lord add His blessing.
Thank you, Brother Albert, for elucidating our minds on the status of Satan's house, divided. And if it be divided, how long can it stand? Certainly not much longer, the pace at which things are progressing in this present evil world. I'll have Brother Albert conclude this service with prayer.
Our loving Father in heaven, we come into Thy presence through our dear Redeemer's sacrifice on our behalf. We thank Thee, Father, for this arrangement, that through His merit we have access into Thy grace. And we do pray that we might appreciate all that Thou hast given to us, of calling us out of darkness into this light, of giving us an understanding of Thy character of love and justice and mercy and wisdom. We thank Thee, Father, Thou set before us the hope of the high calling in Christ Jesus. And may we, with greater appreciation and devotion, endeavor to walk in the footsteps of our dear Redeemer, that we might devote to Thee more fully our little all. And we do pray for the forgiveness of our many shortcomings. We do pray that Thou bless the message, overrule anything that may have been amiss. And we do pray also Thy blessing upon the further sessions, today and the 2 days after that. We do pray also for thy people the world over, be with each according to their need. We do commit ourselves and all our interests to thy further care and keeping and overruling providence. In Jesus' name, amen.